Welcome to the Country Confidential Podcast. Our goal is to learn new things about the people behind the music and the artists who make it. If you love country music, you're going to love the Country Confidential Podcast. Here's your host, Shiloh Bellis.
It's the Country Confidential Podcast with Rivertown Saints. Hey, guys.
Hey.
What up?
We're going to talk about a little bit of old Rivertown Saints, and then we'll get to some of the stories that you guys are all involved in. But
sure.
First time I met you guys, it was in Halifax. And if I remember the story correctly, you guys drove to Halifax in a van that was held together by luck and duct tape.
More duct tape than luck, yeah.
And it was like, well, we're hoping to make it back to Ottawa after the CMAs. And then you guys played at every single venue. It was like, I'm sure you guys just snuck your way into a ton of places to play.
That we
exactly what happened.
Were we signed at that point, Chris?
Nope.
Yeah. So we had been talking with Open Road, but we hadn't signed a deal yet. And so Ron Kitchener basically just told us, get your butts to Halifax. And I got you a place to stay at the Chibucto Inn in Dartmouth. And be there and sneak into everything you can. And you're playing at the Feldman Agency event. And then, yeah, we just kind of showed up and saw what we could scam our way. We got into everything but the actual awards ceremony.
That's,
I think,
because
we were driving home at that point. But yeah, it was our 88 Chevy G20.
Yep.
I remember just being like, hey, I'm on speed dial. If you need someone to come and do some roadside assistance, call me, and then I'll just laugh at you and then be like, call somebody else. But
we should have called you. So you were 2018. We had a show in Sydney, Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
And we were like, we had some time off. It was just a one show. It paid really well, so it was worth it to do one show in Sydney. And so we were like, well, we'll drive. We'll take some time and we'll enjoy the drive to Sydney. We left after work. Yeah. Drove right through the night. We hit Moncton at about 10 a.m. and we were like, let's get some breakfast. And so we pull into a parking spot, and then I tried to back up, and there was no reverse left on our van. This is another. And then I tried to go forward, and there was no forward either. So the transmission died in the parking lot. Yeah, that was like, so Chris LaBelle was in the band at the time, and he was flying out there because he didn't want to drive with us because he didn't like fun. So,
lead singers.
Yeah, what was that?
Lead singers.
But right. It was me, Dan, Jordan, and Chris, and Vance Toast. It's like the start of a holiday weekend. We called every budget, every enterprise, everything, just trying to find like a U-Haul truck that we could even get to Sydney with, the Couture trailer. Nothing. We ended up calling this guy. I'm gonna name him. Who cares? Dan Poirier, who owned a bus.
I'm on Kijiji like a month prior and talked about the trip, and then realized it's too much money. We'll just drive our own van down.
So he had a tour bus, and he was like, "It's about 10 a.m." And he said, "Yeah, I can come get you guys at about 4 in the afternoon, and I'll get my guys to tow your other bus to my shop, and we'll get my guys to look
at
it." So you'd think this is like going to work out, but we had about 6 hours to kill. So we took a cab to Shediac and we went to Captain Dan's.
Oh no. That's a bad thing. I mean, Captain Dan's is great, but that's not a good idea probably.
No. And we just drank pitchers until the guy came to get us at 4 in the afternoon. And then I think we were all gassed and got on his bus. We slept on the bus. We got to the show, played the show the next day, rained, no one was there. Then his bus broke our trailer, and then his bus broke down.
We didn't even make it home. We had to rent a U-Haul in Drummondville, Quebec. Our van's still in Moncton. Our trailer's messed up.
We spent the entire budget of the show getting to and from the show.
We made no money. Part of me was like, that damn Chris LaBelle flying. Now I'm thinking, man, that guy's smart. I wouldn't want to travel with you guys either.
It was funny too, because the reason he didn't drive with us, he was like, and this was like a newer van we had. He's like, the van's not gonna make it, and it was fully like. But the thing is, he had no idea, and none of us did. It was just Chris being Chris, has, and then the van did.
Has he ever let you live it down? I don't know if you guys still talk a ton, but he seems like a guy who just wouldn't let you live that down either. He like I think 30 years from now, and he'd be like, "Remember, I told you the van wasn't gonna make it."
I still talk with Chris now. We haven't brought that one up, but him I and hope I
conversation 30 years from now, that would be funny.
That was the closest. That was the closest there ever was to a fight happening in our band. And it was because I was trying to get in a fight with Chris LaBelle because he was saying, I told you guys you shouldn't have drove. And I was saying, there's no way you could have known that. And then I was in a real bad mood. I tried to get him to fight me, but he wouldn't do it.
I love that.
But when I look back, it was a great time. We made the best of it. We had lots of fun. We even had a hotel. We had a hotel and we were like, the heck with it. Let's sleep on the bus because we've never had a tour bus. So we slept on the tour bus and... it was fun not having to drive at all. You know, from Moncton to Sydney and then, until his bus broke down outside Quebec City.
Drummondville.
Yeah. But the rest of it, it was, you know, when life gives you lemons, you make Mike's hard lemonade.
That's right. So, now we kind of look back at some of your songs and I was sort of looking to see which ones that we played. And I think we played every damn one of your songs from like way back at the beginning. Cause I'm like, oh, I remember that song. You guys have had some chart success over the years. Is it different now because it's been a minute since you guys have had that success? Like, is it, you guys just, you know, has it felt different this time around?
It's definitely gotten harder in a way. We're still working just as hard as we always did. But we put the last two singles out independently. And it's kind of more satisfying in a way because it's like, wow, we did all of this, you know? And even this song that right now, Long Time Coming, Jeremy actually produced that. We did that in quarantine because what else were we going to do? Make music.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now it's almost a top 40.
Yeah,
I know. If this thing goes up another four spots or something, I can tell people I'm a top 40 record single producer.
That's right. You can put that on your resume.
That's right. When I apply at Subway, they'll care a lot.
Okay, tell me where you were, because you guys are our trending track winners, and that's got to be such a jolt and such a fun thing to learn that you are. Where were you guys, maybe one by one, when you found out you were trending track winners?
We were actually on Google Meet and we talked with Lauren and Tina, our manager, and Lauren, our radio tracker. And she's like, hey, can we get on a call? We're like, okay. And it was just like a random, I don't know, Monday or something. And she's like, hey, guys are going to be the trending track for Stingray. And we're like, oh, all right. We're like, what's that mean? She's like,
yeah.
Okay. So no, it's great. And thank you for, thanks for the support.
Yeah.
You, Shiloh and all of Stingray and, you know, it's awesome. It's phenomenal. It feels good.
Yeah. And I think it really only works now because of the new guys that are in the band when Chris moved on from Rivertown Saints and Chase and Joe came on board, we started writing together a lot more as a band instead of like one of us going to Nashville and writing with a bunch of guys and then sharing it with the band and that kind of thing. So the music, I don't want to say like got more honest, but it certainly got more authentic to us. Mm-hmm. And so having Chase in the room writing with us and singing the parts while he's writing, really let us write songs that we'd never been able to write before. And Long Time Coming very much came out of that. It was just no stress. We were hanging with Jason Blaine, who's a good friend. So it was very, very comfortable vibe, chilling in his backyard. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Hendersonville in like April. And so that, you know, that's I don't see that we would have had this success we're having now any other way than with, it's, you know, what RTS is now.
It sounds like you're together. What did you guys put Chase, or maybe Chase can tell us, what did you put him through to audition for the band? How did that come about?
Oh, well, I could explain it, but basically you guys just called me, right?
And that's it?
Down for three rehearsals.
Oh my gosh. I thought they
made came down for three rehearsals though.
I thought it'd be like an American Idol situation where like they made you like they just point, you know, spin the chair around like The Voice.
No, so
I wish that'd be cool.
That would have been awesome.
Real quick, we were in I don't know, Jeremy, was it we played a show in Sudbury and Chase
Yeah.
And he was pretty young there and maybe not even old enough to drink, but he was hammered. Yeah. So we knew. So this was before, like, we were even, you know, LaBelle left the band. So, but we just, Jeremy's like, yeah, you know, my cousin Chase, I think we were on the van ride on the way home or something. And he's like, from after the show, and he's like, yeah, Chase is my cousin.
Like, I showed you guys him on Instagram.
Yeah, Chase had an Instagram account. And he's singing these songs. We're like, man, this kid's got a great voice. And then I think even LaBelle, because LaBelle met you or something there, and he's like, hey, maybe someday you'll be replacing me. Like, he was just joking around.
That's funny.
Well, because Chase was like, Chase had a couple drinks, and I got him backstage to, it was at the Sudbury New Music Festival. We were playing with Aaron Pichette, and then, and it was just a, like, that's a great gig. It's an awesome venue, and, Chase is from Northern Ontario, and so is a bunch of like his family and my cousins and stuff. So they all came down to the show, and just as it happened, hanging out, got some of them backstage, and Chase was one of them. So yeah, he came backstage, and I think you actually told, I think you were like, you were saying you were going to sing for Riverdown Saints at some point. So
hey man, manifest it.
That's right. Okay, I gotta do this, Chase, and I'm sorry because I'm also one of the old dudes, but what have you had to teach the old dudes in the band now that you're the young guy? What have you had to show them that frustrates the hell out of you? That you're like, man, I have showed you this 5-10 times.
You know, there's a few things, but a lot of my language they don't understand, and I have to repeat it and explain it to them. And they've heard me say these words before, but they just can't seem to grasp what they mean.
Usually like really inappropriate ones at that.
Yeah.
Oh, stuff that we never would have said back when we were kids, right? That's what you're saying? Yeah, I know.
Oh, I'm sure. Eh?
I didn't know how to shotgun a beer. Like I had to.
Yeah.
I had to Google. That's true. He did teach us that.
Yeah,
that was frustrating. Very frustrating because it's a very simple thing to do.
Well,
we had tall cans of heavy beer.
You know, you guys didn't even cut the cans, right? You did.
Yeah, I did it all wrong. Yeah. I nearly did it.
Mine still went pretty quick.
Open the beer before you put it to your mouth. And
yeah, Joe got it done.
Joe did get it done.
I knew I'd be good at it for some reason. I don't think that's a good thing.
I love that you're teaching them life skills.
Yeah, we just drank beer normally fast. We didn't need we didn't need gimmicks or
Is it because we were lucky that we could just afford it, right? Like we were just like, man, like we don't want to rush it. We don't want to.
That's right.
Favorite. I feel that way.
Yeah.
Oh, Shiloh, how old are you?
I'm 40 in a week.
Okay, yeah, you and I are like the same age. Do you remember when a six pack was $9?
Yes. Yeah, I remember.
Oh my God, I wish.
When I first moved to Moncton, they had like a draft night, and I swear, and I didn't go because I don't know, I just, but like it was like 10 cents or a quarter or something like that until somebody went to the bathroom, and then it climbed up, right? That was the bar's gimmick. But I can remember when draft was like a quarter, 50 cents.
Yeah, it's like I remember buying 12 Coors Light in high school, and it was like $14 or something.
Yeah.
Like it was insane. And now, yeah, it's crazy.
Now they just shotgun them because they have so much money. Those young kids. No, I'm just kidding.
Young kids, man.
It's $15 bucks for a six pack.
That's crazy.
What?
At that price, you buy, at that price, you might as well buy premium beer.
Good beer. Yeah.
That's my take on it.
So, you guys playing any gigs coming up? You doing like, I mean, you guys obviously can't do much virtually for gigs because you guys are still, you guys are spread out. You guys aren't in the same town.
We do actually have like, it's weird, man. I checked a bunch of other bands and nobody's doing anything, but we have a bunch of shows this summer.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
I don't know if people are just waiting for everything to come back, but we're not waiting. We're like, let's get out there. Let's do drive-ins. Let's do backyards.
July 1st, we're in Little Current, Ontario. July 2nd, we're in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. And July 3rd, we're in Timmins, Ontario. So kind of like the up north tour.
Yeah.
It all just came in like we had one and then two got added this week. And we're like, whoa, okay. So that's kind of the first of hopefully many more this summer with things opening back up. And these are all drive-in style shows, of course. But we're super fortunate. Like people still want us to play, which is good. We haven't forgot about the little old Rivertown Saints.
I think the best part of a drive-in show in Northern Ontario this time of year would be the black flies are going to be out. So everyone looks like they're dancing, but they're just swatting black flies. And you were like, oh, they love us.
How bad are the bugs, Chase, right now?
They're bad.
Pretty fierce?
Like, really bad, yeah.
Great.
It's awesome.
I can tell you, Shiloh, the worst mosquitoes I've ever experienced in my life were in New Brunswick.
They're bad here. Yeah, they are.
It was near the border with Maine. Forget the town we were staying in. I was in an Airbnb with my family summers ago.
Yeah, they're bad. When you guys come back to New Brunswick, we've got to hang out for sure. Okay, a very important burning question, speaking of bugs. When you guys are up on stage and the lights and stuff this time of year, how do you avoid June bugs? I mean, I don't even like having a flashlight on and you guys are up on stage. You ever been like attacked by June bugs? And how do you stay macho when those are coming?
Myself, I haven't seen any bugs on stage yet myself.
Wow, really?
Yeah, not really.
Well, you know what what they do on outdoor festivals is they actually run those fog machines a bit, and that would definitely cool them down.
That probably helps.
I've definitely followed bugs attempting to sing on like
I played in Mattawa with not this band, but the band I was in before Rivertown Saints, and it was like early June when the day that all the shadflies come out of the river.
Okay.
And like, I don't know if they have those out.
Yeah, they're big. East. They're just big and they're everywhere, right?
Yeah, like mayflies. And then they were literally just everywhere on stage and they were going in mouths and ears and stuff. And I remember we all packed our gear up at the end of the night. And then we got next week when we opened it all to rehearse, everybody had like crispy dead mayflies and everything. Like our drummer had like four or five dead ones inside his laptop.
Yeah.
And they smell like it's gross.
That's funny.
Yeah, they smell like fish.
Didn't we play Minnesang? Or we played at the Barker guy somewhere, and there was like a bug infestation.
Yeah, that was. No, I think that was after that Minnesang gig where I almost ran out of gas in that truck that I borrowed from my friend. I forgot to get gas on the way in, and everything was closed on the way back.
Like the hotel was covered. The outside of the hotel, remember, there was just dead. They were just dead ones stuck.
Oh, that's funny. I am never traveling with you guys.
Don't. It's a horrible idea.
Yeah. You guys should do our lives, and it'll follow you if you travel with us.
You guys should do like a travel documentary show, like all the stuff that can go wrong. That you know, people. I would watch that. I like when stuff goes wrong to people on TV.
We definitely need to document it.
I think actually we've turned over a new leaf though, because like our travels with Chase and Joe have not been riddled with so much unfortunate experiences. Like
that's too funny. Before we run out of time on this podcast, because I've kept you guys way too long, because it was some new members and some old members leaving and things have changed, was there ever a thought to change the name of the band? And if there was, what would your name be?
There absolutely was a thought to change the name of the band.
Was it Chase and the Guys? Was that just your thought?
The Chase Barker Band?
That's right.
Chase Kasner Band. Straight well, if we did change the name, Dan, when we were coming up with the name Rivertown Saints, I remember Dan came up with this really hilarious name, but we all kind of liked it, and it was Sugar Fist.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Haymaker.
Or Haymaker.
I'm gonna tell you this real quick. We of course people always comment on our trending track pick, and you know, why didn't you pick my song, or why did you pick these guys? And they always want to, and they're like, these guys have had hits and blah blah blah. And I'm like, yeah, don't worry. I said they're kind of a new band. They just didn't want to pay for the new logo. That's what I've been telling people. I'm just saying that's, I mean, I know it's not true, but that's what I tell people when they say, well, they've been around for a long time. I'm like, no, they're really a new band. They just didn't want to pay for a new logo.
Hey, I mean, it really is like being, it is like starting over, because we're, you know, other than some people still knowing who we are, we're essentially where we were when we started. Like we didn't have any support. We have a manager, Tina, who's great, but I mean, this last EP that we put out and all the promotion that's gone into the single and stuff like that, it's all sort of been us. And I think we're a lot more aware of what that how much work that is now. And I don't even know that I regret it. Like it's been super cool to have, I don't know if control is the right word, but just knowing that nothing, no weird decisions are happening that you don't agree with.
You guys are doing it organically, and I love that. And you know how to shotgun beers now because of Chase. And if nothing else, that's a win, right? Like
he keeps us young.
That's true.
That's true. Guys, thank you very much. Congratulations on trending track, and we will catch up again.
Absolutely.
This has been the Country Confidential Podcast. If you love the show, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Have something you've always wanted to know about an artist or country music in general? Send Shiloh a note on Facebook. Join us next time for more confidential information about the best music on the planet and the people who make it.